news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A new week begins on a hopeful note. As Senate confirmation hearings begin for Ketanji Brown Jackson, who once confirmed will be the first black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. The 51-year-old judge will be formally introduced during televised hearings Monday morning, followed by 2 days of questioning and 1 day of testimony from additional witnesses. President Biden chose Jackson to succeed retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. She's a former federal public defender who has sat on lower U.S. courts for nearly a decade. She's a graduate of Harvard Law School and also served early in her career as a law clerk to Justice Breyer. The goal is to reach a final Senate vote by early April. On a very slightly related note, Justice Clarence Thomas was admitted to the hospital over the weekend, reportedly exhibiting flu-like symptoms. They tell us his condition is not COVID-related and he is improving, but also said he'll likely miss some oral arguments this week. Well, President Biden heads to Europe on Wednesday to meet with NATO, the European Council, and the G7 as the Russian bombardment of Ukraine continues. In addition to Belgium, Biden will visit Poland to meet with their president to discuss the humanitarian and human rights crisis that Russia's unjustified war on Ukraine has created. But first, a call with the French, German, Italian, and British leaders Monday morning. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is appealing for ceasefire talks with the Russian dictator Putin, but the U.S. and NATO officials say Putin is sticking to his original demands. Last week, Putin laid out several conditions for a ceasefire, including a demand for Ukraine's neutrality or an assurance that Ukraine would never become a NATO member. Zelensky indicated that he's willing to consider a neutrality policy under certain conditions to help bring an end to the violence. But Ukrainian and Russian negotiators have now met 4 times since the start of Russia's invasion, with no major resolution on Putin's other demands. Russia had set a deadline for authorities in Mariupol to surrender the city, but that deadline has passed, and Ukrainians rejected that ultimatum. Russia is now likely to prioritize attempting to encircle Kyiv over the coming weeks, this according to the UK Defense Ministry. And we've learned that 4 journalists have so far been killed while reporting on the war, and many more are injured or missing. The world's eyes are on the Ukrainian eastern port city of Mariupol, where on Sunday, Russia did it again. Their jets bombed an art school where about 400 Ukrainians were sheltering. The mayor of the city said no information was immediately available on casualties or how many people were trapped in the rubble of art school number 12. The bombing accompanied another raid on the city, where Russian forces pushed into all of the city's civilian neighborhoods, resulting in house-to-house warfare, as Ukraine refused Russia's call to surrender the city. Mariupol has been described by survivors as hell on earth. And while Zelensky keeps pushing for in-person talks with Putin, Putin doesn't seem to be budging. And then Ukraine on Monday rejected the latest Russian call to lay down their arms and surrender the city of Mariupol. That port city has faced heavy bombardment by Russian forces for the past 3 weeks since the invasion began. Authorities saying that roughly 2,500 people have already been killed there, though the true number may be much higher. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky keeps trying. On Sunday, he praised Israel for attempting to broker some kind of peace with Russia, but called for the government of Prime Minister Naftali Bennett to do more to help Ukraine defend itself against invading Russian forces. Zelensky saying, quote, "It is possible to mediate between countries, but not between good and evil." Zelensky, who is Jewish, appealed to Jewish Israelis by invoking times when they were persecuted. He asked why Israel had not provided Ukraine with weapons like its Iron Dome anti-rock missile defense system. Some Israeli lawmakers, of course, objected to Zelensky's comparison of the plight of Ukrainians to that of the Jews during the Holocaust. And finally, news on the COVID vaccination front. A new study found that the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine remains durable and effective even through the surge of cases caused by the Delta variant. The research found that the Johnson & Johnson shot was 76% effective in preventing COVID-19 infections and 81% effective in preventing COVID-related hospitalizations. The study also showed that, unlike the mRNA vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson one provided lasting immunity at least 6 months after the shots. CNN added to it, saying that their analysis of information collected by the CDC showed that the J&J vaccine also had the lowest breakthrough infection rate of all the vaccines since the week ending December 25th of last year. On the other hand, breakthrough infections during the Omicron surge were the highest among those who received the Pfizer vaccine, followed by those who got the Moderna vaccine. Just shows the more you know. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.